contractor review board, and Peggy, next item, please.
Wait a minute.
Hey, Dean, before we go to contract review board.
Dean, before we go to contract review board, we did want to clarify something that was said at the last meeting regarding fire code and inspections, just to close that out. Derek, do you want to clarify?
Yeah, we'll tag team this. Just to be clear, there are occupancy limits in the fire code and the building code. In fact, it's the same exact table that's replicated in the two codes. The nuance is that for the fire marshal, there's a statute, a separate statute that basically means that Rob and company could only inspect if invited into the premises because of the statutory limitation. Now, on the building code side of it, there is no such limitation. And further, in the municipal code for right of entry for the building official, we have very permissive language. And so, you know, there have been times, Rob was telling me, where his staff has been invited in by somebody who felt that there was a problem in the unit, in which case they can go into the private residence. If it wasn't that, then it would need to be the building official that takes the lead. But in either case, there are provisions in these health and safety codes for the city to take action should it need to. But again, these are health and safety, and you know, it has to be a pretty egregious situation to violate these occupancy limits. But just wanted to get that clarified on the record.
But that's a complaint driven, right?
Yeah, that would typically be complaint driven, correct.
Mm-hmm. But for me, for the fire department to enforce the fire code to make entry and to enforce the fire code, we have to be invited in by somebody from within that dwelling. If that's not the case, then I have no jurisdiction.
Right, so then it would have to be the building official.
That's why if somebody's, another way to look at this is, if somebody is inside their home in their fireplace and they're burning lots of things they're not supposed to, I have no right to go knock on their door and tell them to stop. If it's they're doing that outside in their yard, then I do have jurisdiction and I can tell them to stop. But if it's inside, I do not.
Interesting.
It's just the nuance of Oregon law.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, thank you both for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Okay, we now open the contractor review board. Peggy?
The first item is consideration and potential approval of an agreement with Oregon Meter Repair.
Spencer.
The city of Newport has worked with Oregon Meter Repair and Water Solutions LLC for large meter testing for many years. Recently, Oregon Meter Repair and Water Solutions was purchased by Jason Maxson, who is a longtime city employee. He is now doing work all over the state of Oregon, testing and repairing large meters. The contract will continue our relationship with Oregon Meter Repair and Water Solutions for large meter testing. We'll also provide opportunities for work and consulting services, including development of standard operating procedures for the city water department. And this is something that we would like to try to accomplish, to have a more formalized policies for that department going forward. The other thing, the agreement itself, effective date dates back to February. The reason for that is we have a separate agreement with Oregon Meter Repair and Water Solutions to serve as our DRG, which is our responsible party during our personnel changes that were in place. We also had some of the consulting work that's part of this agreement. City Attorney felt it was best to have this contract start with the beginning of those services, which was in February. But I'd recommend approval of the personal services agreement with Oregon Meter Repair and Water Solutions.
Questions or a motion?
I'll move.
Go ahead.
You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here it goes. I move approval of the personal service agreement with Oregon Meter Repair and Water Solutions LLC for large water meter testing and other consulting services based on the payable schedule outlined in the agreement.
Second.
Motion made by Councilor Goble, seconded by Councilor Parker. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Peggy, next item.
The next item on the agenda is award of contract for wastewater treatment plant clarifier number 2.
Spencer?
An inspection in 2021 showed that clarifier number 2 had a number of significant issues that required attention, including failure of critical wells, it should be welds, below the waterline. Replacement of the corrosion protection coating has failed in places below the waterline, and replacement of seals to protect the drive mechanisms for the clarifier. Staff has solicited competitive bids through Oregon Buys, and 2 proposals were received, with the lowest being from R.L. Reamers Company in the amount of $239,975. There is, on the sheet I handed to you, this was another cleanup, and again, I apologize for these various cleanups. There's an alternate motion that we need to include the authorization to issue a notice of intent to award the contract with a 7-day protest period. So if someone could...
2 motions.
Yeah, the first motion is as written here, and that's on the budgeting. The second motion then would be the one that's attached here instead of the one that's in the report.
Okay, any questions?
Thanks for clarifying.
You have a motion?
Yeah, I'll move. Clearly there's a demonstrated need for this repair. I move to appropriate, am I doing it right?
Yep,
so far?
Got her.
$250,000 from the Wastewater Contingency Fund for the Clarifier Number 2 project. Is that project ID 21001?
Correct.
With that budget amendment being reflected in a future supplemental budget resolution.
That's good. Vote separately on that motion, and then we'll go to the revised motion on the sheet.
I'll second.
Okay, motion made by Councilor Parker, seconded by Councilor Jacoby. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Next motion.
One here.
This is the one where I have the 7-day note.
Yeah.
Yeah. Off the presses.
Are you making it? I'll move to issue a notice of intent to issue a contract with R.L. Reimers Company. Is it company or corporation?
I think it's company.
Company in the amount of $239,975 for the rehabilitation of clarifier number 2 at the wastewater treatment plant, and if no protest after 7 days, authorize the city manager to execute the contract subject to review by the city attorney.
Motion made by Councilor Parker, seconded by Councilor Jacoby. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you. Piggy, next item.
Let's see, consideration of a draft personal services agreement with TCB Security Services for the Newport Public Library.
Spencer.
The city has used TCB Security Services for security services, which is a good thing to use them for, I think, at the library for several years. This has been a welcomed addition to the library to address issues of security and safety there. It's provided relief for the library staff members, which allows them to focus on providing critical library services instead of security services, which was the previous case. Under this agreement, TCB will be paid initially $23 per hour, and the library director, Laura Kimmerly, has budgeted them for 40 hours a week, which amounts to $55,000 for the year. The hourly rate is going to be adjusted by cost of living, and there's some additional language that will be incorporated on the rate adjustments based on cost of living that's not in the current contract. But I would recommend the council approve the agreement and authorize city manager to execute the contract on behalf of the city of Newport. And it should be subject to the review and approval of the city attorney.
Any questions, comments, yeah. Motion?
Before we vote on this, could you give us an update on how it's going at the library with the security officer?
We had Tammy, who just received a promotion, and she was really great with the public. And I know Beatrice and CM had come in quite a few times, and she was very good with the kids, very welcoming. People felt comfortable talking to her, and she had a really positive presence. But she received a promotion from TCB, and so we have a newer security officer named Alex, who's been a really great addition at the library right now and has a good rapport, especially with our teenagers. They really like Alex because he's really involved in comics and Comic-Con, and they love that. It's been going really well. We've had a couple situations that have happened, and especially the first day that Alex was on his own and got a crash course on how to handle things in a positive note and did great. So it's been good. It's been a positive.
You know, one of the reasons we put a security officer in there several years ago was because we were having a lot of trouble at the library with people urinating on the seats and doing stuff inappropriate in the library. How's that working out with it?
We haven't had people urinating on seats. That's been good. Definitely,
W, win.
That's a win. Definitely,
progress.
Some things with behavior, with people, mental health situations that have happened, people who are unhoused outside of the library, blocking doorways, camping outside, a couple situations with the portable toilet outside in the lower parking lot. Not as many as you would think, but I think the nature of a library, you're going to have situations that arise, especially when you're open to everyone and it's free. But I would definitely say not as many as you guys probably had before I was here when Ted was here. We've been trying to handle them in a positive situation. Sleeping sometimes too, but usually we'll just try to wake people up, and they're really respectful with that.
And the officer still has a presence there at the front desk? Is that where he/she hangs out?
Yes. And they were fishing last month for goldfish. And they have stickers. The kids get really excited about getting stickers from the security officer. It's been good.
Move a motion?
Yeah, I'll move. I move to approve a personal service agreement with TCB Security Services, Inc., for library security services in the initial amount of $23 per hour and authorize the city manager to execute the contract on behalf of the city of Newport.
And subject to city attorney review.
Oh, I don't know about that. Subject to the city attorney's review.
That gives me all the authority and power, doesn't it?
Do I have a second?
Yeah, she's second.
Oh, okay. Motion made by Councilor Goble, seconded by Councilor Boteo. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you much. Now we're going to close the contract review board. And thank you very much. Appreciate you coming on down today.
Thank you. You guys will see me again tomorrow, but then next month too, I'm here again with the teens.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Good. We want to see you.
I authorize the city attorney to buy a new pair of jeans.
Don't humor him.
Second.
Okay, and now it's time for council reports or questions or comments. Anybody have anything? CM and
just,
then Cynthia.
Just a reminder that we have the League of Oregon Cities Small Cities here at Council Chambers on Wednesday. If you can make it to that in the middle of the day, though. Yeah.
And we do, that was by reservation, so who did we have?
I RSVP'd through the League of Oregon City site.
Well, okay, then I will get you on the list for sure. So there's.
I thought there were three that are in.
CM and.
Does Peggy need to be on mic?
What was that for?
Thank you for that. League of Oregon Cities, Small Cities, roundtable. I don't know what they call it officially.
It's a small cities meeting.
Small cities meeting.
So we want to have, I know Councilor Jacoby is registered and Spencer is registered and Dean is registered. So we'll register Councilor Hall and Councilor Kaplan.
Maybe you want
to
ask.
You're already registered, Dean. And so that'll be good, right?
I think we're covered on the, because you're going to allow a few additional lunches too. So.
Yeah.
Yes,
he's going to go for you.
Okay, Cynthia.
David David loves the LLC. Yeah.
I do have an issue I was thinking about, and I would just like the council to consider it. There are some places in town who have issues with some disorderly folks, most of the of whom are unsheltered. And I don't know what Chief Malloy would think about this, but I was thinking that since we have not been able to spend the money we had thought we would be spending hiring police officers, because we haven't been able to recruit them yet, we could use some of those funds to use the TCB, the private security firm, to perhaps just drive around and patrol some of the troubled areas. For instance, we've had a complaint, which was very serious, from up around Lighthouse Drive and Roby's Furniture Store. And I know right across the street from City Hall, there are issues between the business building there, the alley, and the county property. Maybe some other hot spots in town that might benefit from just some patrolling. Is this something we can talk about and consider? Yeah. Some of the business owners are a little desperate.
Yeah, one of the things, we do have a meeting tomorrow, which is kind of an outgrowth of the folks that were at the council meeting 2 weeks ago. With staff here, Councilor Kaplan's going to participate in that meeting as well. And then we're going to be following up immediately after that 1 hour period to hear what folks' ideas are for addressing issues. Then we're having a staff meeting to really continue our efforts at trying to put something together that we can bring back to the council to address some of the issues that are there. I think the one thing, and I'll have the chief come up quickly to talk about one of the primary issues, is even with whether it's police or private security, there still are issues of what we can actually do. And until we have something better on our books that's enforceable and legal, we're, you know, there are certain limitations to what we can do. But do you want to address that a little bit and talk about the idea of supplemental security and how that might work or it may not work going forward?
So I think Spencer hit it. Said it really well. We have limited things that we can do, whether we have one police officer or 30 police officers on the street. And I understand the presence of just the physical or the deterrent just by being in certain areas. But we also have, again, we are bound by rights, by laws, by ordinances, things like that. And we really have limited resources. Yes, there are crimes that occur, and we arrest on paper a ton of people. But again, not everybody can go to jail. And, you know, there's just, I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses, but there's just a host of things stacked against being able to resolve a lot of these problems right now. As far as private security to, I guess, augment what we're doing, I'm not excited about. I could talk more to Spencer and Eric about that, just because of a history with the current company, but not to get into that now.
I think what we'll do is we'll certainly incorporate that in our staff discussion that we have tomorrow, and we're continuing to look at various ways to deal with these issues, because it's pretty clear that for a variety of issues, the problem is it has certainly continued to grow as far as the number of people that are homeless. And quite frankly, you know, there's a wide range of folks that are without homes that are here in the community, and some folks are really trying to, you know, work to get out of that cycle, and some folks are not interested in doing that, and you know, it's been a very difficult struggle this year, more so than any of the 8 years I've been here, and I think the chief would probably reflect going back further. So So it's, you know, we've got to figure out different ways, and these ideas are things that I think we need to certainly discuss and determine whether or not there's a process that we could do to incorporate that in. But until we have something that we can clearly enforce, it's going to be limited in what we can do. And that's why we really need to get back to the discussion on you know, cleaning up our ordinances. Now, we've had discussions internally, and we hope to have this to the council at some point in the future. For our buildings, we're taking a look at a different provision regarding what we allow at our entryways, for example, here at City Hall. That's been, in the past, we've had occasional problems. It's becoming a consistent issue now where we have, lots of concerns, both of employees and residents coming in to City Hall when they have to kind of run the gauntlet to get up to the front of the building. But from our standpoint, whatever we implement, again, whether it's, a 75-year-old person that's standing in the entryway, or it's someone that is houseless, our standards have to approach everything consistently going forward. And so we are certainly working on a lot of aspects of what approaches we can have to bring back to the council for a second discussion on that. So
on that, I just not to interrupt you, Cynthia, sorry, but I've been following my dentist's advice and flossing regularly. But the other thing I was going to follow his advice was I've been checking in on that 9th and Herbert a lot at different times of the day. And a new RV has appeared under its own power, and it's tarped. And I texted you a picture of that. I'm concerned that that's becoming an encampment. And the RV with Washington plates down closer to the salon that came and brought their concerns about that to a meeting recently, that seems to be inoperable, and there's a large number of bicycles that are auxiliary piles of belongings, we'll call them, that are outside of the vehicle, which seems like that might be becoming a nuisance issue there. All of those vehicles arrived there under the spirit of that pilot program under their own power, and it's my opinion that they are under their own obligation to continue to maintain their own property until they need to come up with a plan B themselves. And so I'm at this point, I don't know that I'm in support of that pilot program anymore, because it's devolved so much since the initial intent was kind of pulled out from under our feet. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. But the development is it's fluctuating daily as to who's there, the spirit of who's there. And there are some people who still are camping there legitimately that don't have another option. And that was what we originally agreed to do. And so that's kind of what I've seen, just my arbitrary observations in that specific location.
Okay, any further comments on this?
Being relatively new to the game here, I must say, this has been a pilot project for how long? 2 years?
I think 2 years. Peggy, do you remember when that went into effect?
I think it went into effect about 2 years ago, probably in between January and March, 2 years ago.
Okay. And so apparently, so at the early stages, it was seen positively. Correct, and but it's kind of...
And it wasn't used much at all the first year or so, perhaps. Oh. And then it started getting more use, and then it kind of became Partyville, I think.
Mm-hmm. What are you hoping to accomplish with doing a private security? What do you hope to accomplish by having private security involved?
Well, I was hoping to have some presence that might make people who were hanging around and making things unpleasant for the businesses, to just maybe pay attention to some kind of a law enforcement, some official people. I don't know. It might not. I'm just trying to get some ideas going here, because some people talk to me, some business owners, they're quite unhappy, and they say, well, what can you do about it? And I say, well, we can't do anything legally. We can't do anything for you. And I know it's a nationwide problem, but it just seems unacceptable. We've got to come up with some ideas.
No, I drove by that 9th Street parking lot after our meeting with the, when they testified here, and there's a lot of permanent facilities there, you know, which is not what we had anticipated.
Now, there are some legal issues as well, as far as, you know, when someone is using a vehicle for a home, the issue of towing that vehicle, there's some issues with that as well. And so the whole issue of managing these types of problems have changed dramatically in the past couple of years. And I think, right, wrong, or indifferent, the houseless population has rights to do certain things. And for a lot of individuals, they don't create a problem, you know, for the community. But there's certainly a segment that doesn't care about that, and they know what their rights are, and they are really playing it to the full degree to just make life miserable for everybody. So
a very American conundrum, for sure. However, we need to hammer the personal responsibility. If they want to come here and dick off, then there needs to be consequences. And the people that work at the salon don't deserve that treatment. And the people going to the dentist's office should be primarily focused on how much they love the sound of that drill, rather than who's going to jack their car while they're getting a crown filled. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, I'm kind of fed up in the sense that the population that we want to serve and help have access to those services generally. We could expand it. We need permanent housing. I get it. But the small subset is co-opting the entire process. And that's where we need to stand a little bit more firm, I think.
Okay, Beatrice, and then CM.
You know, I just listening to Chief Malloy, you know, having another security, you know, they have to be prepared to know the ordinance. You know, we have ordinance and how familiar they are. That's the part, you know, it might take time to train other people, you know, being engaged in something like this, and maybe getting in another conflict, not knowing, you know, how things will go, you know, with ordinance and things like that. You know, that will be the question, you know. And also I'm thinking, you know, this is something that it's very challenging, and I totally understand, Ryan, it's not going to be solved from today to tomorrow, right? But I'm wondering, you know, who other, you know, counties that are, you know, they're going through something similar to us, and maybe they are changing and what things they have done, maybe to follow those paths, you know. And also, why not to do an assessment of, you know, people who don't have houses, you know, what they want to see and what their needs are. I think it's very important to assess, you know, the priorities that are happening out there that we don't know. But, you know, must be something that is very attractive in this community that we don't know, that we need to find out what is very attractive that we can support, or, you know, find some solutions.
Yeah, I certainly agree with the concept that there are a lot of folks that are not in this position by choice and want to, you know, have opportunities to get out. You know, there's so many elements of this population that when you start classifying them all as the same population, that's where it becomes a problem, because there's 100 different reasons for people being in the situation that they're in. But I think the other thing too is we need to have some, you know, and that's what we were trying to do with the ordinance that we brought before you before, was have some limitations as far as where, and some instructions as far as where people can camp and where they can't camp. We're looking at some other options, you know, to bring back to you again, but we need some, regulations that are approved by the council that are going to pass the test that it has to pass to have a little more teeth in addressing issues going forward. And as I indicated for this building and for the city buildings, we're looking at you know issues. You know we have in fact you know the other morning I got in early and I looked out. There's a bunch of garbage out there, and I grabbed a broom and pan, and I probably swept up 50 cigarette butts. You can't smoke here, but you know there's 50 cigarette butts that are on the sidewalk out there, and so we've got to start enforcing some of those simple things. Even though you know basically the only thing we can do, which you know for our buildings, is you know if someone's violating you know smoking or littering or other rules that we have in place, you know the only effective thing we can do is trespass them, you know from this location, and that's a 30-day trespass, but that's going to move them to another location. And so anyway, we're working on ideas and thoughts. There are no very easy answers here, but we're going to see what we can bring back to you.
CM?
You're right. And credit to Councilor Jacoby for putting something forward, right? Like we want you to have a fully stocked police force, and you don't right now. But even if you did enlist folks right now, their training is protracted. Their on the street opportunity is so far out. Like I actually really appreciate some like that thinking outside the box of like, how can we take the load off of the officers on the street who can triage other things, you know? So I see it as a problem solving opportunity. And I also recognize it's a very sensitive issue to like move people or make people, you know, like, people shouldn't feel like they are breaking the law just for being on a sidewalk or being, you know, in front of our building and such. But I appreciate the idea of like, how could we maintain a presence that actually would, I think, offload low level or whatever, you know, like, and it doesn't need to be armed, and the security services wouldn't be armed folks, right? Like, so I don't know. I see it as a stopgap potentially, not necessarily a need to be long term, but I don't think it's an idea that's a bad idea.
Cynthia?
If it's something you could possibly work with and if it would help, it was just an idea, you know. Summer's coming. If we could do it like even temporarily through the summer, I'm just wondering how this summer's going to go for our town. And, you know, I would really like to fast track getting a shelter. Newport needs a shelter. I know we've been trying and trying. We've got to get this done. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, but we need to do it. Think outside the box and get it done.
The problem I have with this private security issue is they already provide paid services to businesses now in town. And if I was a businessman and I was paying them, and all of a sudden now the city is paying TCB or whomever to patrol other businesses, I would say, I want the city to patrol my business too. I don't want to have to pay for it. So there's some problems. Jason, I have a question for you. What percentages of your calls have to do with these kinds of issues?
I am strictly going off of a guess and a gut just from looking at our call logs and then hearing the things that occur during the daytime, but I would say not quite 50%, but there's a lot. We get a ton of trespassing calls and just a ton of this unhoused person is doing fill in the blank.
50.
But around 50%?
But I would say I would say it's a lot. And it takes away from us doing other things because we respond. We get a lot of calls, you know, and a lot of them are easily handled because of our limited ability of what we can do. It's getting people to move on. I mean, if you guys were here in the beginning, I tried resolving something. It took four officers to come up and resolve something that resulted in a piece of paper. You know, really not a lot of enforcement authority. So but there's a lot more concerns also having non-city personnel, non-sworn police officers out enforcing city ordinances. There's a lot of liability. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I think I'd like to talk to Spencer about and then put something together for you on the pros and cons. I agree we need to consider every possible option, but we also need tools. Not just staffing, we need what can we do. You know, I've heard a lot of the discussion, and I was like, well, I wish there was an answer for that. Why, I wish there was an answer for that. There's not. David and I have had way too many meetings.
Thoughts and prayers.
For Jason, we one meeting with pain. Me is too many meetings. Yeah. So just put that in context, Jason.
But there's a lot, you know, we use David as a resource to help interpret this and help interpret that. We're going to a lot of the same types of meetings, me at the chief level, him at a, you know, at an attorney level. Spencer and I lost track of the meetings there, you know, and we, I don't want to use the term lightly, but we are banging our head against the wall because we can only have so many things to do. I agree we need more resources. You know, would a shelter solve the problem? No. Would it help? Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of these areas that are seeing results are huge metro populations that have lots of dollars and lots of resources. We're missing the mental health aspect side of things. We're missing the drug counseling side of things because we just have such limited resources that we have access to. So I don't, obviously we're not going to solve this tonight. And I don't know if we could have an all day session tomorrow that would solve this either. Eric, maybe he's got great ideas. He's new to
this. Let's put this on Eric. Thank you, Eric. Thanks for being here. Can you solve this? Thank you.
Eric solved something for us the other day. Didn't even know it. And, you know, so, yeah.
Okay, David.
Jason, that one meeting didn't go very well, according to what you just said. So I did send a handout to the council. I was at a legal issues workshop last week put on by the City Attorneys Association. It was over in Salishan, and there was a presentation with the PowerPoint I sent to the council from the cities of Medford, Beaverton, and Eugene. And the city attorneys there talked about how they've tried to approach the homeless population and the different programs they have. And there's a variety of programs, as you can probably see from what I sent you. But the big takeaway from all of them was, if you're going to try and put together a shelter or a program, whether it's, you know, providing a space for the nonprofit to have people put up tents or whatever it is, you need to have a good partner in the nonprofit you're working with. They need to have the resources available to actually do the job well. But some of the nonprofits in some of these cities that I just mentioned, you know, they kind of learned on the job and they've actually progressed over time and are now much more expert at doing this than they were 5-6 years ago when the cities engaged with them. But the other takeaway was start small. Start with a small program and work out, see how that works. And if it works well and the nonprofit is doing a good job, then perhaps expand out. But again, Newport's not Medford, it's not Beaverton, and it's not Eugene as far as the number of resources that are available. So we're actually, you know, at a much more of a disadvantage than even those cities because, you know, we don't have the resources even they would have. But again, it's really everyone's struggling with it. And some cities have more resources than others and more nonprofits available to actually work with the cities in putting these programs together.
Jan, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I wonder about, and I've been thinking about this a lot, and as everybody else seems to be, and you know, and part of it is when you try to solve a problem, you have to net it down to something that's solvable. That's a, you know, and because when you talk about the, as Spencer was saying, when you talk about the homeless, you lump a lot of people together, and there are folks who are out of, you know, trying to get housing or, you know, trying to live responsible, trying to work. There's folks who are probably college kids traveling during the summer, and there's folks who just don't historically have been on the fringe and are not interested in, and that's oversimplifying as well. But it would seem as that I wonder perhaps if we looked at sheltering services or for the folks who are committed to wanting to get out of that situation and some way to, you know, that again, when we talk about starting small, not starting small with a couple of campers that want to smoke pot, but starting small with you know, with something, and maybe using using some type of security to protect them. You know, we look at how do we move people on, but how do we make sure that people who are behaving responsibly are safe? And is there a way that we could make a safe camping environment or a safe shelter environment for folks who would use it as a platform to move forward and to get? I thought it was really interesting thinking, Cynthia.
No, and in that situation too, that's almost a, you know, and that's one thing we're learning with our unsupervised lot is if you leave it unsupervised, it's hard to control what occurs there.
Right.
And so whether there's an opportunity for that sort of a thing to provide some direct supervision, you know, that may be a partial cure.
We did send out that plea for partnerships to all the you know,
faith-based
groups in town, and this is really for their opportunity to show us what they're made of. You know, helping is hard. Helping is emotionally involved and should involve more than just giving out merch. And so I'd like to see actual buy-in from the people that make that part of their, you know, thing. Mm-hmm. Generally, as far as, you know, trying to set an example of how to live, this is your, we're accepting all reasonable proposals at this point.
Absolutely.
You know, a couple of years ago, pre-COVID, Lola Jones and Blair Barbier came out with a really good plan on paper. And I think we can have a look at that again. I mean, I just don't feel like throwing my hands up and say we just give up. That's not acceptable.
Gotta try.
But I don't know what to do either. So,
well, I can tell you we have not thrown our hands up. We are frustrated, but we are going to work toward solutions. So,
to Jan's point, there are different categories of people that we're dealing with. There are some that will go along with the program if we have a shelter or we have services. There's other ones that they don't really care. And if we have private security, they're going to learn real fast that they can tell the cops to kiss off and they can tell the security guard to kiss off. So at the end of the day, are they really going to be effective? And the other thing, too, is, you know, this ordinance we've been talking about, you know, prohibiting certain places in town. And I keep thinking about it that, you know, we're gonna allow people to camp on Northeast 1st, Northeast 3rd, Northeast 5th, 6th. Once we do that, the people that live in those streets and the people that have businesses on those streets will be marching in here screaming and yelling at us. So there is no perfect location in town that anybody would agree to. And that's a challenge that we're going to have. And then the last problem that we're going to have is the day we put that ordinance into effect, some attorney's going to sue us and some court is going to say, no, you can't do it. And that's frustrating too. David?
So yeah, in that program that I attended, like in Medford and some of the, and Eugene, what they said was, you know, they actually have different programs that are kind of for different segments of the homeless population with different needs. Some folks like living in tents, others are car camping. So they're actually trying to diversify their programs to meet the needs of the different components of that overall, you know, homeless community. The other thing is they, like in Medford, they also have the time, place, and manner ordinance, which allows people to still camp in the right-of-way under certain restrictions. So they're trying to do as much different things as possible, not just one thing, but as many different things as possible to see if each of those things might attract a different group of that homeless population. It's not perfect, but it does kind of expand the net of what you're hoping to achieve rather than just saying, let's build a shelter and that will solve the problem. No, that might solve a small part of the problem, but not the entire problem. So that's kind of the takeaway I got from that presentation from all those three cities.
Yeah. I don't think we should give up. I think this is a huge problem, and we have to keep working on it. We just can't walk away from it and say there's nothing we can do, although we are limited. But I think we should try to come up with as much solutions as we can, look to other cities to see what they're doing that's legal, and hopefully we can find some kind of a decent solution.
And to your point, Dean, this is where the community at large needs to come with constructive ideas. We've heard fears and concerns, and those are real and valid, but make a proposal. Give your unique perspective from your lived experience. That's what we want to hear.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And I just wonder if maybe we should start the homeless committee back up and get different people from the community, business people, regular people, to come in and give us ideas and you know, run them by David to see if it's legal or not. I don't know. Maybe that's an option.
Could we have a work session with that document that Lola and Blair produced? I think that would be meaningful, is if we, just with us, had more dedicated time.
Yeah.
To look at that.
I think we are planning to have a work session on the whole issue, and we can see if we can incorporate that into that discussion as well. And so anyway, actually this has been a really good discussion tonight to understand where council members are at on this issue, because it's a tricky issue to negotiate. We have not given up on negotiating it. You know, we're going to hopefully come up with something that's going to be more workable than the scenario that we have today. And I think the other thing, too, is there's no way to resolve the homelessness issue, but there are certain things we can do to address certain aspects of it. And so, you know, that's what can we do to make things better, both for the homeless community and for our homeowners and business owners in the community. And that's really what our focus has to be. And it's going to be a continual process that will never end, I'm afraid. So.
And on that, I think there's actually a parallel track that we're missing as far as houseless people services. There's also the component of that, like the mobile shower facilities and the mobile laundry and things like that, that people tend to remember a need for after a natural disaster occurs. And, you know, the Northwest is due, and small cities having small scale generation to restart a water plant or restart a sewer plant, having a 10 person shower truck through FEMA grants, having that to serve those who need showers now, but conserve the population at large after disaster. I think that's always been missed. And there has to be funding for that somewhere. And we need to start thinking about comprehensive ways to solve problems, not necessarily that maybe there may be an immediate need, but a long-term benefit to make that investment.
Okay, any further comments on this subject? Okay, thank you, Chief.
Anything else, Cynthia?
Yeah. Are there any other comments or questions on the council report side? I would just like to say that CM and I participated in the Loyalty Days Parade.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah, oh, Ryan, yeah. I just want you to know that everybody had a great day. It was just packed with fun. I think people in the community enjoyed it. I think it's, you know, we didn't have it the last couple of years, so it was kind of a community event, a celebration, and, you know, and everybody was just having fun. I got a ride in the parade, and CM participated by throwing eggs at me.
Yeah.
It was a ball. I had fun.
They weren't hard-boiled.
They were hard-boiled.
And the sun came out.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I saw so many smiles on people's faces. The kids were just going absolutely nuts. And, you know, I wish it could have gone all the way to the Armory, but it couldn't. But it was a perfect day. It rained till 11:30. It cleared off. It was gorgeous. Everybody was having a ball and a party. And all I can say is CM was just going nuts.
Let's be clear. The mayor had an amazing float, which was a convertible with a license plate that said mayor. It's the best.
Yeah, it was just, everything was perfect. I think everybody had fun. All the people that were involved with the floats and the political candidates, everybody was just having fun. I'm not going to say who was there.
We'll just say that there was also an electric vehicle owner in the parade who was also on the city council.
So, but anyway, I just want to thank the committee that worked on it. They did a fabulous job. The National Guard did a great deal. They put the flags out. Tony Molina can't do the flags anymore. He's getting up in age. And the Armory has taken over that service, and I think it's cool. Just going to be great. So we're going to have the flags out now regularly. The other thing, too, is one of the problems that Tony was having was he couldn't put the flags out in the rain because he didn't have any place to store them to dry them. The Armory is a perfect place to store them and dry them. So I think that's going to work out really good going forward. We'll have those flags almost every holiday, which is really cool. But it was just a fun, exciting day, and I think everybody had a great time, and we need to do it again next year. Bring more eggs. Okay, with that, we're going to go to public comment. I don't see any public comment, so we're going to adjourn the meeting and go into executive session. Do we need to go in there?
Hey, Dean, before we do that, let's just get on the open session record right now that even though the motion was made earlier that we will be convening an executive session following adjournment of the regular meeting under ORS 192.6602H to consult with legal counsel concerning the legal rights and duties of a public body with regard to current litigation or litigation likely to be filed.
Second. Do they need it? They don't need to move again.
No, the motion was already made. I just want to announce that that's the basis for going to executive session. Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think we need to move out of the room because we're the only ones left in the building, I believe. So, yep.
Okay. Actually, with that, I'll adjourn the meeting and we'll switch into executive session. But Peggy's got to switch us over.
Yet another. The meetings keep coming. But wait, there's more.
Eric, why don't you run out and see if the door is actually locked? Well, if you can't push the door open, it's locked. So, yeah. Yeah, just you just need to check the front door. So.